All right, on to the message. That's part of the message. There's a June's family was actually out in California, and they went to church together as part of a family reunion. And as they were singing an opening hymn, an earthquake hit. I can believe that because I grew up in California, so I know what that's like. The building shook, and the overhead lights swayed back and forth. In true California style, we never missed a beat, she shared, even though we had to grab the pews in front of us to steady ourselves. Following the service, the pastor came over to greet our relatives. My son-in-law grinned as he shook the pastor's hand and said, I've been to a lot of church services in my life, but I can honestly say this was the most moving one that I've ever attended. Now, I hope that every service that you come to here is incredibly moving for you, just not in that way. And, you know, moving is an interesting word, isn't it? To be moved is to be deeply touched. To be moved is to be in a different place than when you came in. And I think one of the most important ways that you and I can be moved in our spiritual life, not only when we come here to worship together, but each moment of our days. Because I believe that, you know, that's what the important thing is for you and I. The spiritual journey is about a life journey. This hour and a half or so that we have together, that's an important part of it, but also are there all the other moments of our lives. And we can be moved in so many different places in so many different ways. And I found one of the most powerful relationships that you and I can have to ensure that we will always be open to being moved, if you will, by God's Spirit and by God's grace, is through fostering and deepening a relationship with the Holy Spirit. There's an interesting study that Jim Cimbala wrote. He heads up the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church up in New York. He wrote a book called When God's Spirit Moves. And it actually was a study that we did a number of years ago. And I think it was really a foundational study for our church. We actually did it on a Wednesday night. And he reflected on the whole reality of this idea of how the Holy Spirit can move in our life and also move in the life of a people, believers in God and in the world, and how powerful that is, how life-changing that is, and how important that is. You see, I think it's important for you and I in our lives to be moved, to have memorable experiences. I remember when I was on the tennis team in high school, our coach would go around watching us all play, and when we were practicing, there would be some times where he would get on us, as a coach usually does, and he said, well, it looks like today you're just going through the motions. And that was his phrase to us to indicate he wanted to see more out of us from that moment on. And so a lot of people, I think, in their lives can just simply be going through the motions. You know, you get up in the morning, you eat the same kind of things, you have the same kind of routine, you go through your day, you come home in the evening, and the same kind of routine, same kind of things, and you and I, our lives are kind of going through the motions. And it's important for you and I think, to mix it up a little bit and allow God to mix it up in our lives as well, and to have moments where we're deeply moved. To see a sunset in a new way, to have new reflections and thoughts, and to be touched in a moment. And so that's what his study was about. It went over a period of weeks, and I'm going to do this over a period of weeks as a sermon series, but reflect on the reality of the importance of being open to God's Spirit moving in your life and in my life in ways that are new and fresh. And it actually starts today with your gospel lesson today in John 14. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And so one of the wonderful things about this scripture, again, I invite you to read it later on, is that Jesus promises us and the disciples that we will not be alone. As Jesus is leaving, Jesus says to them, I'm going to send you an advocate, and the name of that advocate is the Holy Spirit. In fact, he says in this scripture as well, you'll see the word a little bit later on, I will not leave you orphans. That's such a powerful thing. If you've ever been around somebody before who's been an orphan or has what some have termed an orphan spirit, there's that sense within them from the very beginning of their lives all the way through growing up of being alone. That in some way, shape, or form, mom or dad or significant others weren't there for them emotionally and in terms of giving love to them and being present to them. And they still have that orphan spirit and in their hearts. And so Jesus says something very profound and very important here in this part of Scripture. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit with you, and the Holy Spirit's always going to be with you so that you can always have a sense of connection, a love relationship with us that will go on through all of your life. And that is so, so important for you and for me and for the world as well. And I believe the season of Pentecost that we're in right now, the season of green, the season of growth, the season of life, gives us a taste, a picture of what the life with the Holy Spirit looks like. We remember from Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came like a mighty wind. It wasn't just a slight little breeze. It wasn't a whimper. It wasn't a dead still heat of the day. It was a mighty wind. And when that mighty wind came, the disciples and all that were gathered there in that moment knew something very special was happening. And also, we also remember the story. There were tongues of fire over everybody's head. Boy, that was a story to tell the grandchildren later on, wasn't it? And they weren't even drinking. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, as much as people were telling them later on, oh, you guys were drunk. No, it was 9 o'clock in the morning. We hadn't started drinking that much yet. So no, we weren't hallucinating. These were real tongues of fire. They started sharing about Jesus. Later on that day, Peter preached a message where 3,000 people came to the Lord, Jesus Christ. And so they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit wind. You remember that song, wind, wind, blow on me, wind, wind, set me free, the blessed Holy Spirit. That's why we sing that song. It's an affirmation of a truth of the moving of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life and in my life. We know from the Scripture that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Hence, the Holy Spirit is personal. And again, one of the interesting things I remember about this study that we did a number of years ago, I'll always remember this, as we were doing this study on the Holy Spirit, one of the interesting things that people kept saying is that, you know what, Father Joe, I feel like I have a relationship with God the Father to some extent. I feel like I can relate to Jesus to some extent. But the Holy Spirit is like, I don't even know how to begin to relate to the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like Casper the Friendly Ghost. You know, remember talking about the Holy Ghost? Well, I mean, that's a nice phrase, but it's like, what does that mean for my life? And so many people, I would say almost to a person, said to me, I don't sense or feel like I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit that's personal and connected and real. And we began to develop that over that series of Wednesdays, and that's my prayer for all of us, is that during this series over the coming weeks, we can develop more of a sense of a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. I mean, if Jesus and the Father and the Spirit went to all this trouble to make sure that we would not be alone, that we would not be orphans, to the point that they would send the Holy Spirit, I would say the Holy Spirit's an important part of our lives. I would say that's an important thing. And if we're supposed to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, it should be real. Just as real as touching the person who's next to you. Go ahead and touch the person who's next to you right now. Touch them. Just as real as that. Just as real as that. The Holy Spirit is one with both the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit was the agent of creation. You remember reading in Genesis about how the Spirit hovered over the waters. We also read about the Spirit being the Ruach, or breath of God. It says, when God breathed into man, he received life. He was breathing into dust. And so the way that you and I have life is through the Holy Spirit, the energy of God. The Holy Spirit is not only the agent of the original creation, get this, but he's also the agent of God's new creation in Christ. It talks about us being born again by water and the Spirit. The Father seeks such that worship him, that will worship him in spirit and in truth. My gosh, you notice all these words about spirit through all these different scriptures? Could it be intentional? I think it could be. I think God is trying to tell us something. And I think what God is trying to tell us is that this relationship with the Holy Spirit is incredibly important. In fact, it was so important that the Lord told the disciples when he was ascending into heaven, do not leave the place where you are until you have received the Holy Spirit. And it was one of the rare moments in the disciples' lives where they actually listened to what Jesus told them. Thank God. And they did. They waited for 40 days. That had to be incredibly hard. And then they received the Holy Spirit. That made all the difference in the world. And beloved, the same is true for you and me. I believe there are so many Christians who are living out their Christian life, but they don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit that is personal and real. And because of that, they are living a Christian life that is powerless. They're trying to do all the right things, but they find themselves unable to do it because ultimately this Christian life can only be lived out through divine power. It requires divine power that can only come through that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Finally, the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. Oh yes, yes, that's true. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. So again, that's one of the things that's really special about this book, and I'm holding up the Bible right now. That's why I encourage everybody to be in the Scripture every day, is because it's God-breathed. And what makes this book different from every other book is simply this. As you and I crack open this book and actually begin to read the words, and we have a relationship with God, and we're open to the Holy Spirit, what happens? God begins to breathe into us his creative word. That's the word of God. This word of God is timeless. This word of God still has great spiritual effect in the lives of his people. If only you and I would get into it and read it and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. You can have all kinds of books on your shelves. I got all kinds of books, let me tell you. But I can tell you, out of all of those books, there's one specific section for me where I've read about 5 or 6 or 7 books 4 or 5 different times. Because they draw me in. They speak to my spirit. And maybe you have a section like that as well. You're just drawn to them. And you see, those are the books in our lives that matter. They're the books that speak to us about our life. They're the books that we resonate with. And the Holy Word of God, the Holy Bible, needs to be one of those books in your life and my life. Because the breath of God, the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, I'm getting excited, is coming out of these pages into your heart. It's coming out of these pages into your heart. I can tell you, honestly, before I made a commitment to Christ, I would read this Bible. It was like boring. I'm just telling you, even as a priest, boring. I didn't want to read it. I would pick it up and read it. People would tell me to read it. It's like, oh my gosh, what did I listen to you for? But when I came into a relationship with Christ that was personal and real and yielded myself to the Holy Spirit, I opened this book and began to read it. I started with the Gospel of John. Guess what? I'm not kidding you. And this was before I was a priest. I was about 17 years old. It was like a door opened up for me. A spiritual door opened up for me. And I began to be touched by these words in a way like never before. Now, some of you are looking at me kind of skeptically right now. I'm good with that. Give it a try. I dare you. I challenge you. Take the Father Joe challenge. All right? Give it a try. You won't know unless you give it a try. Surrender your heart to the Lord afresh. Say, Holy Spirit, come. Please open up the words of this Bible to me and see what happens. And please come and tell me what happens. I know for me, it was a life changer. Symbolist shares, whatever God is doing in our world today, he was doing through the Holy Spirit. He has no other agent on this planet. So again, what I'm encouraging you to realize is the Holy Spirit is a living being and presence. And when Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave the gift of the Holy Spirit not only to his early disciples, but he gave that gift to his entire church. And he gave that gift to you specifically. And again, I want to encourage you, wherever you are in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, and this includes me, to open up more fully to the life of the Holy Spirit in you, to moving you, to blowing a mighty wind upon your life, and be open to the Holy Spirit opening God's word to you and empowering your life in a way like never before. Wherever you are in the relationship, in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, it can be better. I mean, think about the relationships that you're, the people you're close with right now. Isn't it new every day in some way, shape, or form? Yeah, some of it's boring. You knew they were going to do that. You know what they were going to say even before they opened their mouth. But there are moments of surprise too, aren't there? And that's how it is with the Holy Spirit. That's how it is with you and I in this spiritual journey of life that we're called to. So in closing, Pastor Cimbala had a member of his parish by the name of Roma Black. This person, he was actually a member of a gang. If I remember the story right, his mother went to Pastor Cimbala's church. And he shares the following story. He was sitting in the back of a gangster's Mercedes-Benz in New York, and he noticed a car across the way with a hitman in it. Now, he knew it was a hitman because of what he did and the life that he lived. He knew exactly who this guy was, and he had a feeling about why that hitman was fairly close to where he was and his friend was, and it wasn't good. Roma told God in that moment, if you're real, show up. I think he was doing one of those prayers, God help, because he realized that he might not be very long on this earth unless God did something on his behalf. So he said very simply, God, if you're real, show up. He shares he felt the Holy Spirit come upon him and give him a peace. The peace that passes understanding. And that's what happens a lot of times in these kinds of situations. You'll throw a Hail Mary prayer to the Holy Spirit, to God, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you can't explain it. It doesn't make any natural sense, but you'll have a peace. And you know it's a peace from God because you just asked for God to show up. He said the Holy Spirit came upon him and gave him peace. He decided in that moment to follow Jesus, and after that, the hitman left. He is now in the ministry at Pastor Cimbala's church in New York City. What a wonderful story. You see, the devil had him for a long, long time. And the devil is here to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the devil does. And yet God was reaching out to him. God was reaching out to him through Pastor Cimbala's church. God was reaching out to Roma through his mom. And God was reaching out to him in that moment when he looked across the street, he saw a hitman, and he realized, God, help. And God did. Please pray for me as I pray for you, that starting this day, in each one of our hearts, we would be open to the movement and the wind and the presence and the peace and the love and a relationship with the Holy Spirit in a way like we never have before. God has given every believer the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful gift. And he's given that gift to you and me so that we would not be orphans, so that we would not be alone, but we would have an ongoing connection with the greatest, greatest power and presence and love of the universe. May our hearts truly and completely be open to that relationship with the Holy Spirit. So